Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to Romans chapter 15. We'll be reading verses 1 through 6. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. I'd like to have you read along with me on the even-numbered verses. Let's stand together as we read. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's bow for prayer. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the reading of your word this morning. Pray that you would use it to speak to us today. Be with Pastor as he brings a message to us. And we pray, Lord, if there's someone here that does know you as Savior, they might come to know you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
Good morning, everybody. First of all, I just want to say thank you. I've been going to college the past 3-4 years, and I know some of you guys have been praying for me, and I just really appreciate that. Second of all, I just wanted to say thank you to the Bajanis for teaching our Sunday school class. It means a lot. It's really been a blessing throughout the years coming back and always spending time there Sunday morning, so I just appreciate it. And this song I'm going to sing, it's a bunch of questions at the beginning. You guys all know the song. You'll hear it when I start singing it. And I just thought about school with it, too. It's like there's a bunch of questions, and if you answer the questions in the second song, you can just sing with joy and happiness in your heart. Well, let's go. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in of the Lamb? Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shores. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. Oh, when I die, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Oh yes, I'll fly away. Oh glory, I'll fly away. Oh, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
I almost got up and sang with him, but I'm afraid he'd feel intimidated by my size. So I didn't. All right. Thank you, Joel. We'll miss you. Going back to college is last year of football, senior of college. Last year of football. And talked to him the other day, not sure exactly what the Lord has for him when he finishes, but I'm sure that God will direct him, and appreciate that. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 15, we just read. Romans 15. Latasha, Olivia, nice to see you this morning. Romans chapter 15, read verses 1 through 6 there. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to focus on the first three verses with an application for verses 4 and 5 as well. But let's look at those first three verses once again. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. You know, it's always the duty of the strong person to reach out and help the weaker person. In relationships, it's always the stronger one that helps make things right. When people say, you know, someone's at odds with somebody, it's the stronger person that helps make it right. Now, the weaker person will stand off and not do anything. The stronger person has to reach out. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities, weaknesses, errors of the weak. Now, those that don't have that strength. We bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please for his good to edification. But even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Now the Christian life is truly a life of righteous living. Those who have named the name of Christ to have been born again are commanded to depart from evil. Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from evil, the Bible says in 2 Timothy. So the Christian life of righteous living, doing what's right. After we're saved, doing what we know to be right. If you're saved, I would say to you, walk with God and do right. Amen. Dr. Bob Jones years ago said, do right till the stars fall. Do right. And so if you're born again, your responsibility as a Christian is righteous living. Do that which is right. The Christian life also is a life of growth in knowledge. A Christian never quits growing in knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Incidentally, that but grow is in contrast to falling from steadfastness. A person who stops growing as a Christian will fall from steadfastness. Not fall from salvation, but fall from steadfastness. How do we keep from doing that? We grow. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Christian life is righteous living, but it's a life of growth in knowledge. We're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know everything there is to know about Jesus found in his word? I don't think so. Even our understanding becomes more complete each time we look at something that we already knew. And so we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The more we grow in scriptural knowledge, the stronger our walk can become. One cannot walk with God if he doesn't know him. And we only know him by how he has revealed himself to us in his word. The only way to know God is through his word. We have The Bible, 66 books of the Bible, in the Bible, God has revealed who He is, what He is. That's how we know Him. And so to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior means that His Word and reading about what He's taught us about Himself. Then experience accompanies knowledge. In today's world, people want to base knowledge on experience. They say, I experience, therefore I know. Wrong. We know, and then we get to experience that which harmonizes with our knowledge from the Scripture. A lot of people have experienced some weird things, but there's no knowledge involved. Remember, Brother Randy, you and I were in the hospital one day making a call, and we were walking out. And it hit me like a beeline. I must have preacher written all over my face or something. And he hit me like a beeline, and he came to us, and he was imparting his experience as if it were knowledge, and it wasn't at all. You know, talking about, just some weird things, Brother Andy. Seeing a salamander, and the salamander was telling him, and okay. He had experience, but not knowledge. So as we grow, experience things that accompany the knowledge that we're gaining of God and His Word. We only know Him by how He's revealed Himself in His Word. And we experience His promises and lean upon His presence and experience His reality as we've come to know Him in the reality of our lives. And these three things I've just described could be described first as departure. Once we're saved, we depart from that which is wrong. And then intake, God's Word. We've got to take it in. But the Christian life is not complete or as fulfilling as it should be without something else. Output. We depart from wrong. We take in truth that God wants for us to know and to continue to know. But then there has to be output. And that is reaching out to others. So today I want to preach on these words, bearing and building, from this passage of Scripture. We ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, building, bearing and building. Let's just pause for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have opportunity to come here together. Thank you for this place you've allowed us to have. Thank you for these people that are here. And you know each one's need, and I pray that the whole bunch, each of us, from your word about things that we need in our own lives. Bless us, help us, use us. If there's anybody here that doesn't know for sure, he or she, if they died, would go to heaven, may they get that settled today once and for all forever. Bless this time, I ask. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 1, it says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmity and not to please ourselves. The first part of the book of Romans is most of the epistles or letters of the Apostle Paul. The first part of the book of Romans lays a doctrinal foundation, things that we need to know. From chapter 12 on to the end of the book of Romans is practical, things that we ought to do based on what we know. And this chapter 15 is following, dealing with him that's weaker in the faith. Certain things that they think but aren't necessarily scriptural, and some people that think they're obeying the scripture and trying to put some certain rules on other people that aren't necessarily appropriate. Talking in Romans about eating meat or not eating meat or whatever and so on. And implying that many people develop things they think are right, and it's because they haven't really come to understand the scripture. And other people may not do certain things because they have a understanding of the scripture. It works both ways. And he says here that then we that are strong have to bear the infirmities of the weak. In the Christian life, there are people around us after we get saved that aren't what they ought to be yet for Christ. We're not a museum of spiritual relics that we set up on the platform in here and say, look how wonderful I am, be like me. The Christian life here, according to this passage of departing from sin, above growing in grace and knowledge. It says, we then, based on the knowledge we have in the previous chapters, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. It's the lot of Christians as they mature to bear the infirmities or errors of the weak, the powerless, those who are weak as in young, or those who are weak as in struggling in the Christian life, even with their own fleshly ways. We that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak. And basically put here, we have to bear or pick them up. And sometimes pick up after them. Children make messes. Did you ever realize that? And parents have to clean up. They're 18, hopefully. But parents have to clean up after them. It's part of immaturity. Certainly the children, I believe, should be taught to clean up. Amen? You have any kids here you'd like to have a double amen to hear that again? Kids should be taught to clean up after themselves. Amen? Oh, I even have this. Amen? Amen. All right. Very good. But parents bear these issues for a while until they instill self-discipline and the child becomes mature. So then they that are strong in the parenting factor bear the infirmities of the weak, not pleasing their own selves, but to lead those that are weak to a point of strength where they have the self-discipline to take care of those things. Young Christians often make messes and need others to be mature with them, bear their infirmity. You know, when I got saved, I didn't become perfect all at once. In fact, I'm not there yet, right? Young Christians make messes and need others to be mature enough to help them bear the infirmity. They may be slow to apply certain truths. Christians grow at different rates. I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, a sound Christian home, where I knew a lot of things that were right and wrong. And when I got saved, I had knowledge of some things I should and shouldn't do. But I still had to grow in grace and in the knowledge and let the transformation work take place. But shortly after I was saved, I was involved at Killeen Baptist Temple in Killeen, Texas, and serving the Lord, working a bus route, leading the singing in the church, and just these are things I knew I needed to do. Right? Someone else might get saved and they struggle at just starting to come to church. Okay? Or if somebody has a little bit of a cursing problem, they might struggle at saying the wrong word when they hit their thumb. By the way, after you're saved a few years, that should change. Amen? Say hallelujah, praise the Lord, or something. But people may be slow to apply certain truths. They may misapply Scripture. When people get saved, they're applying some Scripture. It's easy to do. One of the reasons of why we study the Scripture is to compare truth with truth so that we can make a balance of how we apply it in our lives. Baby Christians, they that are weak, may stumble. Being a pastor for 35 years and involved in the ministry, I've watched a lot of people stumble in the Christian life. And our duty as maturing Christians then reach out and bear their infirmity. Pick them up. They may stumble. Sometimes they may get misled. We preach the truth and what salvation is, and somebody preys on someone that's interested in spiritual thing and start teaching them stuff that's not really scriptural. We have to bear that infirmity. Christians who are more mature are to bear them up and encourage and help them along in the Christian walk. I was thinking about a gentleman several years ago that came to church with his family. And shortly after he came to church with his family, He was struggling, and he came to me one night just broken up, because he'd had a severe problem with alcohol before he got saved and was really trying not to be involved with it anymore. And was just really, really struggling. I was painting in my house back when way back then. I still, what is now a bathroom upstairs was a bedroom, and I was painting in there. He called me and said, "Can I come and talk to you, preacher?" I said, "Well, I'm painting, but that's if you can mind me looking a mess like that, you come on." And so we talked in that room for a couple of hours, had prayer, and just trying to help him bear that in front. The man stabilized as a Christian, served the Lord here, moved on with their family, and has served the Lord faithfully for many, many years. What if, "Pastor, I'm having trouble. I was saved out of alcohol and I'm really struggling right now." Well, listen, you're saved now. You know you should have total victory now. No. We bear. We pick it up with them. We bear the infirmities of the weak. And so as a Christian, yeah, you should be turning from sin in your own life, doing right. And you should be growing in your knowledge. But there's someone around you that instead of just pleasing yourself, reach out and try to help them up. Don't look down your nose at young Christians and weak Christians that are struggling with things. Look down your arm as you're reaching and trying to help them up. And in chapter, or verse number 2 of chapter 15, it says, first verse 1 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us..." Now, I'm not very smart. Don't say amen to that one, okay? Let me put an amen with a cross through it, right? Don't say. But if it says let everyone, how many people in this room are we talking about? Everyone. Okay. Let every one of us please his what? Neighbor. For his good to edification. Bearing in verse 1. Building in verse 2. Let everyone please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now, I'm glad God put "for his good." Pleasing his neighbor doesn't mean do something that's for his evil, as in doing wrong and getting down on their level and doing wrong with them, right? But please him for his good. Do what's pleasing for his benefit. One of the attributes of God is benevolence. Goodwill. God, out of the good character quality of God, God so loved, God gave. Out of the good quality, God's character, benevolence, reaching out to do something beneficial to undeserving man. That's what God did. And this is the aspect here. One of us, having received that goodness of God, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We have to do that which is most necessary to build up those who are weak. Might mean extra visits. Might mean a call. Certainly means prayer. Might be going by and bringing them to church. Amen? Thinking of what is good or beneficial for them all, and I think we all would have this tendency, we can all want to drift into our safe harbor of refuge personally from the struggles that others are facing. We'd like to crawl into a bubble of our own perfection sometimes. I haven't found one for me, but crawl into a bubble of our own perfection and not be burdened with the problems of others. But that's not what Jesus did. Amen? And as Christians, you know what? I'm going to do what would please my neighbor to help him for his good to edification. We can all slide back into a place of personal safety, but what we really need to do as Christians is think of what will help others the most. Good parents do this all the time. They set aside what could be called their needs in order to please their children, giving them what they need. Parents know that when they do that, their life is more pleasing. Amen. The key here in this verse is doing that which is good for their edification, for that which builds them up. Let's think about that for a minute. The truth of God, of God's word, is good for their edification, isn't it? So someone that's weak, well, you got things about God and God's word that you know that you can share that will help them. Not pinpointing their faults and failures, but share God's word that can help elevate them and bring them up. The truth of God's word is something that is good for their edification. And what about fellowship with God's people? Christians ought to be pulling at other Christians to get them where the word of God is taught and they can have fellowship with God's people. Amen? You've heard me mention that going to church is like the people say, well, I can be a good Christian and be out of church. Well, probably not. And it's like the piece of coal that's burning in a fire. It glows really well when the fire is burning around it. Hopefully you have a long set of tines or whatever to grab a hold of it. Don't grab it with your hands. But you take it out and you set it away from the fire, and quickly that hot coal begins to die down. And then you take that same piece of coal and you put it right back in the middle of the fire and it starts glowing again. And what we have to realize is that people that are weak and they stumble and they get out of the Lord's house like they should be, what we got to do is try to get them back in there, amen? Get them in where the fellowship of God's people can be enriching, the truth of God's word can be encouraging to build them. To build them. Service for God. Building Christians means getting them involved in turning from sin, not just knowing more about Him, but in serving the Lord and doing things. Christians grow quickly when they're trying to serve and trying to help other people. That's when we grow. Someone that's teaching something, someone that's inviting people to church, they're more likely to grow because they're serving. Something else that I think is so great and so important, doing that which is good for their edification, which builds them up, is demonstrating love. I love the statement that Greg Mann was preaching for us on a Wednesday night. We used to support Brother Greg. He's no longer actually on the mission field. But Brother Greg was here one Wednesday night. He was teaching our Bible study. And as he was teaching, he said, you know, I heard this. And those are the best ones to pass on, what someone else heard, someone else said. He said this, people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And here, the book of is so rich in knowledge. And he says, now you know this. Bear the infirmity of them that are weak. Don't please yourself. Seek to build them up. Christians that are growing need to take this attitude toward others. Building other young Christians requires losing ourselves for their benefit at times. Building other Christians requires time. An insurance man called me the other night, and I inquired about a certain type of insurance, and lo and behold, I got a call about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. And this guy was tenacious talking to me. But what was he doing? He was taking time because he knows investing time may get a return. Don't call me yet. Okay. May get a return. And, you know, building other Christians, not for our own good, it means putting aside ourselves at times. What you would want to do and saying someone else could use my help, my spiritual guidance, my wisdom, the truth of God's word, my love, my fellowship, whatever, someone else could use that. It requires time. Building other Christians also requires setting the example. Notice Jesus is used as an example in verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written that reproach thee, fell on me. Christ did not please himself. And we are setting an example. Building other Christians requires us setting the example. Don't be telling young Christians they should be church faithfully and they come and you're not here. And building other Christians requires patience. Patience. It takes time. I'm glad that God didn't give up on me when I first got saved and hasn't got... I love the saying, you've seen bumper stickers or whatever, be patient with me, God's not finished with me, what? Yet. No, and He's not going to be finished with us till He takes us home to be with Him, and we'll be made just like Him. Building other Christians requires patience, letting the Word of God sink in and letting it transform. So glad that God's in the transformation business. As we take truth of God's Word in our heart, He begins changing us and making Him. And that takes time. And Christians need to be patient toward young Christians. Building other Christians also does require sacrifice. It means giving up for another's benefit. And so we have bearing their errors, their infirmities, and then building them to overcome those things. And then the last thing here in verse 3, it says, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Kind of an interesting thing. Christ pleased not Himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. He took our reproach for us. Can you think of Jesus Christ on the cross, hanging there, taking your shame for your wrong and for mine? And sometimes helping other Christians means bearing reproach that maybe they have. There's this aspect of a mature Christian toward a weaker one is saying, you know what, I'm going to take on me some of what's on them. You do that with your children. Jesus bore the reproach of others for us. Mature Christians have to oftentimes bear the reproach of weaker Christians. Parents have to do this for their kids. I cringe when I think of the reproach my parents have taken for me when I was growing up, for my siblings when we were growing up. I remember when I was concerned, of course, a young married student with a couple little kids there, concerned about what faculty and staff may have thought about me, as probably all of us would be. And one of the ladies that we knew was teaching the kindergarten class, which our oldest was in. And one day she came up to my wife and me and asked us about a prayer request that had been made a few times by our child. And what was that prayer request? Pray for my parents that they'll get married. At Bible college. So this teacher looked at us, wondering, were we married? Well, we bore that reproach, and it became about really because kiddingly asked my wife to marry me. Dad and Mom got to get married, you know. Anyway, when children do wrong, parents bear their reproaches before others. The night one of the faculty members there at college, and I was reminded of this because I met someone that goes to a Bible college where this particular man I'm going to mention is now also Dean of Men. And one night, this member was going to be presented to the church as the new Dean of Men of the college. Well, it just so happened that just before church in that 5,000-seat auditorium, two little boys, his son and my son, felt it their calling to drop things from the balcony down onto people below. And so those two boys got in trouble with us, but he was just getting announced Dean of Men, and our children were causing trouble in church. Well, we had to bear their reproach, and incidentally, I think both of those sons bore our correction as well. I remember as a pastor here, Berrien County Baptist, shortly after I'd come here, I remember the first couple times that I went into a courtroom with different people affiliated with our church who had gotten into some issue, legal issue. And I remember as a pastor, you know, especially younger, you maybe want to have an image. And I remember going in to speak up for a person. I can remember sitting outside the courtroom with him. You know, what's this judge going to think of me? I'm a preacher. Well, you know what? My flesh wanted to be embarrassed, but as a pastor, I was standing with someone who had violated the law and was some way being held accountable. We know the law is always wrong, amen? But anyway, then I can remember sitting there as we were waiting to go in, thinking about how Jesus bore my reproach. And that changed my attitude. Jesus hung on the cross and bore my shame for my sin. Knowing Him as my Savior, can't I help someone else bear their shame and go forward? It's a spiritual honor to bear reproach with struggling Christians. Christians are forgiven, but they're not perfect yet. Someone needs to walk beside struggling Christians and bear their reproach. I think of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. You're welcome to turn there if you like. Galatians chapter 6. Keep your finger here in Romans chapter 15. But in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, we are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And I want you to notice the next verse, verse 2. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill" what? "The law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual," strong ones, "restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." You remember when the Lord came to the disciples and they had been fishing and they were mending their nets. What they were doing is they were repairing the nets so that those nets could be used once again in service. You try fishing with a net when it's got several holes in them. You know, you're not going to catch anything, of course. And or don't be like me and go fishing with a rod and reel, and when you cast it, the reel jumps in the water too. But you know, they were repairing their nets, mending them. The word restoring. They were mending the nets so that those nets could be used again for service. And that's what this verse is saying in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, mend, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering that you will be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." The Christian life is bearing and building other people who may be weaker than you spiritually to bring them to the place of usefulness. It's time that Christians begin thinking not how much to, not how good am I living, though those are important. But it's time that Christians begin thinking all the time, how can they benefit others for their good, instead of thinking only, what can I do to help myself? Songwriter wrote these words, "Others, Lord, yes, others, help this my motto be, help me to live for others, that I might live like Thee." I made a call last week and was reminded from a young man going back several years. I was reminded how that God had used me to bear a reproach with a family through some very difficult times, helping a marriage stay together to this day. And one of the one young fellow that was talking to me involved recalled and reminded me how I was with them through a lot of those trials. You know what? That's what the Christian life is, amen? And that's rewarding. It's certainly more rewarding to see the fruit in other people's lives than just pruning and enjoying my own orchard. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation, patience, the endurance, in other words, and consolation or comfort, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. So here's the application. We're to and build like Jesus did. And he says, now the God of patience, he gives you the ability to endure your trials. And he helps you so that you can reach out and help someone else bear their burdens, their infirmities, their errors out of weakness, their struggles, to become more usable for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 5, now the God of patience grant you to be what? What's it say there, please? Like-minded. In other words, we talk about being like-minded. Here's a phrase that's talking about us all being like-minded, where we're thinking, not what I can do for me, but we're all thinking, how can we help someone else and lift them up and get them going for God? That is the spiritual mindset that God wants us to have. It's not how much we know. We should grow in knowledge. It's not how righteous we are in living, though we should be growing in righteous living. It's how we're taking those two and saying, I'm going to reach out my arm and I'm going to try to help someone get up a level spiritually. Through our example, through our instruction, through our fellowship, through our prayers. Reading the record of Scripture, as it says here, whatsoever things were written of our learning. Reading the record of Scripture and seeing how God has used others to help others and how Christ bore our reproaches should challenge us to do the same, have the same mind, like-minded, one toward another. The Lord used Ananias to help Saul. No one else wanted anything to do with him. Help Saul, who became the great apostle Paul. Barnabas also helped Paul become more established in the ministry. Think of the parable of the Good Samaritan, just for a moment, that Jesus told. How the righteous, self-righteous Pharisee saw him wounded and passed by. Didn't go across the street. The Levite, supposedly in the service of the house of the Lord, passed by. And then the Samaritan, whom the Jews didn't like, wounded, robbed and wounded and bleeding, and crossed the road and went over and helped him and dressed his wounds and put him on his own beast burden and led him to an inn and said, you take care of him and dress his wounds, and when I come back, I'll pay you whatever it cost. Put him on his own mule, carried him to an inn, paid for his stay and the expenses of recovery. He bore his infirmities. He pleased, if you please, he pleased his neighbor for his neighbor's good to edification. And the reproach of others against that man fell on this man, the Samaritan. And of course, that story was given in answer to the question, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Jesus was called a friend of sinners, was he not? The liberal crowd, the modernistic crowd likes to use that. See, Jesus hung out with sinners, implying that Jesus was like them. Wrong. Jesus was with sinners to reach sinners with this in mind, to bear their burdens and reach out and lift them up out of sin. We don't need a church of Pharisees who compare others to their wonderfulness. We need mature Christians who see them in the ministry of bearing one another's burdens and by so doing fulfill the law of Christ. That's what we need. Remember how the Pharisees walked the woman taken in adultery to Jesus to pass judgment, and he instead bore her reproach to elevate her and said, go sin no more. If Christian growth does not result in us reaching out in practical ways to help others spiritually, it's not Christian growth. I don't want to be a part of a church that's a spiritual museum of those who think how they're so wonderful spiritually. I want to be a part of a church that performs spiritual EMT, a church that bears the infirmity of others to get them in church. I want our church to be the spiritual hospital where we can bring people to get help spiritually and patch them up so they can grow and go out. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. How? Bearing and building. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus. We help them have endurance and give them comfort through the Scriptures by which they can then go on unashamed for the Lord. Songwriter asked this question. He said, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when He has done so much for me? He goes on and he asks the question, how many are the lost that I've lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best when He's done so much for me? The first help that we can offer anybody is leading a person to salvation. Amen? That's the first help. Sharing the gospel and leading them to Christ. We could get someone so religious, we'd marvel at them. But if they're not saved, they're not going to heaven. The first help is leading someone to salvation, sharing the gospel, leading them to Christ. So let me just say this. Be complete Christians. Walking in righteousness, growing in knowledge, bearing and building others. As I look at my ministry, the most important thing to me is the people God has used me to influence. I'm thankful God's allowed us to do this building. Isn't it wonderful? To think what we had here 30 years ago and what is just completely remarkable. Glory to God. And I like to show it off, if I can use that word. And you don't take that wrong, do you? Like, so, you know what? This should be an old school, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? That doesn't make a hill of beans difference. What makes a difference to me is that God would use me to bear people to be used for His honor and His glory. That's what the Christian life is about. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning. And God, thank you for your word. And thank you that you loved us enough to live a perfect life for us. We couldn't. And then to die the sinner's death, bearing our reproach for us. It would be hell if we did it. Thank you for living and dying and rising again for us, that we could be saved. And then, Lord, as saved people, we thank you for setting the example, for reaching out to bear and to build. Help us to follow that example. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd minister to our hearts. May we take profound truths and make them practical in our lives on a daily basis. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed this morning, I wonder if there's anyone who'd say, preacher, you know what? I'm saved. I've grown in grace and knowledge. I'm experiencing God's help and blessing. I've overcome some things by His grace. But I really want to be someone who has that third part of bearing and building other people. Pray for me that God would use me with what He's doing in my life to be to someone else who'd slip up their hand this morning. God bless you. Amen. It's your neighbor. It's the person you work with. It's someone you've never met. It's your family. Maybe there's someone in your mind that you know they're not saved, and you're going to take a tract. You're going to show them that they need to ask Christ to be their Savior. I wonder who this morning would say, "Preacher, these are wonderful concepts. I'm born again. If I died today, I don't know 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I need to call on Christ myself to save me." I wonder if this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking, that you'd say, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I am saved. I want to make sure of that today. If I died right now, I want to make sure that I'm going to heaven." Slip up your hand and say, "No one else looking. And I'll pray for you privately." In just a minute, we're going to stand together and sing. When we do, if you're not 100% sure in your heart, you're on your way to heaven. If you came forward, I would take you aside and show you from the Bible how to make sure you're going to heaven when you die. Don't put it off. If God's tugging at your heart, make sure of that, whether it's man, woman, boy, girl, senior, younger person, doesn't matter. If you're not sure you're saved, better make sure. Better make sure. And then, Christian, a reminder, let's add that dimension. Yes, grow. Yes, turn from sin. But bear and build the people around you. Maybe you ought to come this morning and just pray privately for someone that's on your heart. When we stand and sing, you can come and just make the front pew or the steps your own private altar and just pray, and pray for that special person that's on your mind, that God would use you to be of comfort and help to them. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, bless this invitation time this morning. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd minister to our hearts and you'd use us to be an encouragement to others, that you might minister to their hearts and help them to grow. Lord, may we be a people that bears and builds others. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You come if you need to come as we sing, Brother Jeff.
Number 400 in your songbook.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And then let them look at the cross of thy love, at the faults of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with praises, Lord, to thee. Take my silver,
Mrs. Whitman. All right. Amen. Isn't it good to be saved? Huh? Isn't it good to be saved? I'm so glad. I was just thinking about it, and I could have rattled on so many things, but people that were there to help me early in my Christian life. Pastor Flanders came here one time to visit on a Sunday night, and when I was in my first pastorate, Harbor Beach, Michigan, 26, 27 years of age, 5 years ago. No. 26, 27 years of age, and I was discouraged because some people had really, really, really done me wrong from my vantage point as a pastor. And he came up and talked to me and said, "You know, Brother Jim," he said, "you just got to put the blinders on like the racehorse, and you keep your eyes on the Lord and forget about people around you." You know what? What did he do? He bore and he built. Encouraged me to just go on for the Lord. Amen. And that's what we got to just keep doing. Dr. Hiles used to have a radio broadcast. And every morning he closed, when he did the radio broadcast, it was about a five or seven minute radio broadcast. And at the end he would say this: be good to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time. Christians or people don't get helped by hearing the severity of Christians. They get hearing about the goodness of the Savior. Amen. All right, let's bow for prayer. Father, we're grateful. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. Thank you for each person. Lord, just take your word and work it into our hearts and lives, and then work it out of us so that you're honored and glorified and others are benefited. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Good to see you this morning.